Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're not going to go long today. We're going to talk about prayer. And I want to remind you, we are in a 21-day condemnation-free zone. Prayer is one of those topics that sometimes is a shame-inducing topic, but not here. We're not going to allow that. Of course, we should all pray more. That's just a given. We won't use that as a club. All right, we are in day seven. We spent 3 days with emphasis on renewing our hearts, which we'll touch on. 3 days with an emphasis on renewing our mind, which we'll also touch on today. And the next 3 days are about renewing purpose. Now, we move into the heavy lifting in the following 3 days and beyond. Deliver us from evil, and then a renewal in government. And wow, that's gonna be some topics where, you know, those are the days we're gonna really have to dig in, folks, because that's where we need to see some things happen. But Matthew chapter 7, let's start here, and then we will pick up a few things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask. Everybody good with that word? Know what that means? Three-letter word, ask. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So ask, seek, and knock. Jesus, classic preacher fashion, is dealing with threes. Easy for us to remember. We like certain numbers. There's a rhythm. There's a repetition. There's things that help us lock things into our memory. Jesus is modeling this for us in his communication. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And he goes on to say, what's the foundation of prayer? Essentially what he's saying is the foundation of prayer is the understanding of God's character. He gives you a methodology. He gives you a framework. Ask. It's good to ask. It's good to seek. It's good to knock, which means prayer is proactive. It's not just waiting. It is asking, seeking, and knocking. So he lays out a framework for it, but he basically says, here's the foundation of prayer. I'm a little bit loud, guys. Here's the foundation of it. You have to understand God's character, and you have to understand that he's good. How many of you have ever had a boss that you really weren't quite sure what your relationship to him was really like? You really didn't fully know what he thought about you, what if he really approved, or she for that matter, if you really were not sure what your relationship was to that person, but you needed to ask him for time off or a raise or I need to swap my schedule around or whatever it may be, but you really, really suspected deep down he really wasn't for you or she really wasn't for you. So that always makes going to the boss and asking for those things lots of fun, just joy-inspiring. Not anxiety-producing, not fear-producing, none of those things. No. Contrast with that boss or parent or authority figure, or somebody who's got control over resources, situations, people, time, whatever it may be, could come in a lot of different ways. And you know this person really liked you. They appreciated you. They liked your job effort. They liked other people that you worked with. You could see they were fair. You could see they were doing the best they could in an imperfect life, trying to take care of the employees, trying to take care of the people in their organization, and you had something that you needed from them. Altogether different dynamic, isn't it? And here's where we struggle with what we know and what we know. Most of us know the right answers. If you're in church on a Sunday morning when there's a lot of other things that you could be doing, on some level you're trying to figure this out. You want something from God. There's a recognition. I need something from God. So you're here. Welcome. That's why I'm here too. When we know God's character, we approach Him differently. There's things about God I know are true because Scripture says they're true. Then there's things about God I know are true because I have experienced them. Because when I didn't feel like asking, I kept asking. When I didn't feel like seeking, I kept seeking. When I didn't feel like knocking, because I wasn't sure what the disposition of God would be on the other side of that door, but I did it anyway, and over time, He proved His character, then I approach Him differently. But there's also a third category. There are those times when we have, at previous points in our life, proved Him to be of good character and have found Him to be of good character, but we have been overwhelmed by the data and everything that's going on in the world. Maybe we haven't sought Him the way that we're supposed to. Maybe He's just letting us trudge hard in our own strength for a while just to remind us what it's like to be really close to Him. Maybe there's times and seasons. I don't know, but we need to remind ourselves that He's been faithful in the past, and that renews our understanding of Him in our present. I'm in the fifth decade of life. I've had my back against the wall a few times. I've prayed a lot of, God, if you don't come through, I'm really not sure how this is going to go. Really not sure. I'm still here. And you're still here. This is why David said things like, boast in the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. What is he doing? He's reminding his soul that God had been good to him before, and God's going to be good to him again. And in this new battle, this new trial, this new struggle, David is reminding his soul, you know what? He was good to you before. He's going to be good to you again. So boast in the Lord, my soul. He's talking to himself in third person, and it's one of the few times I recommend that, because usually politicians do that, and it's really irritating. But David is doing it literally to his own soul, saying, hey, remember that he's been good to you and he will be good to you, because he doesn't change. We change. We get weak. We forget. But he's proven faithful. So we need to learn to speak to our own souls. The Psalms give these great examples. You can just read them and exchange yourself for David in some of those Psalms. Ask, seek, and knock. But ask, seek, and knock knowing God's character is set and it's established. He's good. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. He's good. It's who he is. We're not out of class yet. That will be tested. You'll pass certain tests. Maybe you'll not quite pass some tests as well as others, but this has always been the battle that mankind has faced. It's the speculation over whether God is good or not. It's what happened in the garden, and it still happens today. This is still the test. Are we going to speculate over God's character? And out of that speculation, will we do things that are not in our own best interest? It's a good place to say, Pastor. Maybe not a place to say amen, but a good place to say, yeah. That might be something for me to think about. It's in the realm of speculating about the goodness of God that we can make bad choices that are not in our best interest. Or we can press through, we can ask, we can seek, we can knock, And the thing that you're actually seeking somewhat becomes distant and secondary to when you have just locked in the goodness of God and re-experienced it fresh for a new time. That's the prize. The answer to prayer is also a prize, but the real prize is, you know what, God, you are good. You're always good. Why did I ever doubt you? Why did I ever struggle? Why did I ever just bask in the anxiety of this? Why did I let my mind spin around 100,000 ways to try and solve some problems? I know none of you good people do that, but this is what I do. We're praying for renewal. We're praying for restoration. We've spent 3 days praying for God to renew our hearts. This is where everything begins. Deep, the heart is the deepest place. There's the way the Old Testament language describes it and the way the New Testament language describes it are slightly different, but the heart is the place that you might say it's where the soul and the spirit kind of overlap or come up against each other. The spirit is the very deepest place within a person. This is where, as a Christian, this is where God moves inside and begins to dwell and begins the process of changing and transforming us. The soul is what the Greeks would call the mind, the will, and the emotions. The Hebrews called it the nephesh. And so they made a distinction between the nephesh and the ruach, which was somewhat, it was complementary to the way the Greeks used the word pneuma. It's the deep place, but it's a place where we have some decision making. There's some will involved. In Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, David said this. This was his prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. So what was David praying? He was praying in his deepest inner places, renew me, change me, cleanse me, renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. The idea of God's face being turned away, God's spirit being taken away, is much more pronounced in the Old Testament. You don't see it a lot in the New Testament, but the idea, when Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? He's literally saying, God, you've turned your face away from me. It was just that moment where he's taken all the sin of humanity upon himself as this perfect sacrifice, and God has literally rejected himself in that moment. This crazy thing we really don't have a great explanation for. But God, as perfect humanity, offering himself in sacrifice for our sins, takes all the sin of humanity upon himself, and God the Father looks away. And in that moment, Jesus paid the price for every sin. So the idea of God's presence being taken away, be looking away, that's that pivotal moment that's pictured for us at the cross, but there's a lot of Hebrew culture and underpinning beneath it. So this is why David's praying, hey, please don't look away. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I'm only alive and new and whole if I'm in your presence. So, Lord, we pray you would renew our hearts. Let's stand up. We're going to pray real quick. This is lab today. Why don't you just close your eyes, do business with God. I'm going to pray for you. Pray for us. Pray for me too. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here today. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the perfect sacrifice for our sins, who endured rejection so that we would not be rejected. He who is righteous took on unrighteousness for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Lord, we come to you and we say that within our own strength, we cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot renew ourselves. And so as David prayed, Lord, we just agree together. Lord, we thank you that you long to create a clean heart in each and every one of us, no matter where we've been, what we've done. The blood of Jesus renews and it cleanses. So cleanse our hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Father, right now I pray for everyone here. I pray the Holy Spirit would just be alive, fresh and anew, deep within every human being that's here. What a beautiful mystery that God has come to dwell in flesh. What a beautiful thing that eternity is now encased in things that are not eternal, things that are temporary, but they're now eternal because of your presence. Lord, I pray for every person here, everybody who's watching on Facebook, restore the joy of our salvation. Restore the joy of our salvation. Holy Spirit, help us revisit that first moment where we realize, you know, God has forgiven my sins and I am clean. Despite all the things I've done that were nasty and filthy and so far beneath you, God, you said I'm clean. Restore unto us the joy of our salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name everyone would just experience your presence. There's no condemnation anymore. Your presence is free and available to all. Holy Spirit, we thank you. You comfort, you counsel, you anoint, you come alongside. We love you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, have a seat. But don't get too comfortable because we're going to get back up again in a couple minutes, okay? The renewal of our minds. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So if we understand the imagery that the Bible lays out for us about how human beings are put together, the spirit is this deep, deep place within a human where God's spirit dwells. And it's what connects us to what the Bible calls the unseen realm. It's the world that we can't see, but we know lots of things are happening there. And then there's the physical realm. That's the world that we live in, that our bodies operate in, our function in, and our five senses. So Paul's writing to the Romans. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds have been taking in lots of info. Some of it good, some of it not so good. Our souls trying to filter all this stuff out, make good decisions, do the right thing. All that goes with that. Folks, we live in a day and time. There is more information to have to wade through than at any other time in human history. If there's ever a time we need the Holy Spirit's help to have our minds renewed, it's right now, because we're filtering more data, input, images, worldviews, opinions, narratives, you name it. We gotta filter out all sorts of stuff. We so desperately need the Holy Spirit to help us, more so than at any time. Parents, you're dealing with this, not only on a personal level, but you're trying to guide and shepherd your kids through this world that has so many messages, so much going on, so many appeals to flesh and to insecurities and to vanities and all these things. It is not an easy thing that we have to do in this day and time. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and perfect. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24 says this, "Put off your old self." There we go. There's winning friends and influencing people right there. That's the fun one. You're special. You are. But put off your old self. For God's sake, for your sake, for everybody's sake. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and to corrupt, which is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Again, this idea of the mind needing renewal. Bible making a distinction between your spirit, the deep part of you needs to be refreshed and renewed, but your mind also, in a separate application, needs to be renewed. They're different in their function, they're different in what they are, and God says all of it needs to get renewed, both of these things. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So what you're saying, Pastor, is in this whole transformation process, God is the one that does it, but there's some cooperation that has to happen on our parts. Is that right? That's right. We make a decision to put off the old self. And we make a decision to put on the new self. And you know what the best venue for having this, you know, tested in not just lab but in real life? It's called relationships. The most rewarding and also most challenging aspect of life, relationships. I had a pastor friend that used to say, he probably kind of liked the COVID era. He'd say, if I could just come and preach, but there was nobody in the building and everybody was getting their messages at home. I don't remember exactly how he described it, but he was kidding. But the point was, humans are difficult. And ministry's difficult because ministry's all about humans, and humans are notoriously difficult. Yes, you are. You have a loud voice, Scotty, but I have the microphone. I have tube amps and things that are helping me. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. Put on the new self. Every day offers us choices, doesn't it, folks? Put off the old self. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. So it's there. It's not out of reach. You can do it. When your flesh is screaming and you're angry and you're offended and somebody's hurt you or somebody's devalued you and you have an opportunity to respond. And will you respond in your old self or will you put on a new self? This is where the choice happens. So we need to have our minds renewed. Let's stand up and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that you don't leave us to ourselves. And you don't leave us in our own strength to navigate this life. I want you to just be in a posture of receiving right now because you're going to have all sorts of chances to make choices this week. For this moment, I want you just to let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Let him just be good to you for a moment. Holy Spirit, we just confess to you, we have so much information to filter, so many messages to process, so many choices, so many appeals to our flesh, to our vanity, to our self-absorption. Holy Spirit, we just humbly ask you, please help us. You're the counselor. You're the comforter. My soul's tired. And I ask you to comfort. For every person here today, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You love to draw near and you love to counsel. You love to comfort. You love to guide. You love to encourage. You love to come alongside. It's your character, Holy Spirit. So we welcome you today and we say, we really do need your help. We truly do, as we guide our kids through their choices and their worldview and all that they have to filter and process. Holy Spirit, I just say to you, I desperately need your help. But I don't say that in fear. I say that knowing you're good. But just being honest that I so need your help. I love how Jesus modeled this for us. He'd go to a quiet place and pray. And seek God and meet with God. if you'll make time to meet with God, he will meet with you and he will comfort your soul. Jesus said, yoke yourself to me. I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. So as a people today, we're saying to you, Holy Spirit, we're going to let you be good to us this week. We're going to let you comfort and counsel, because that's who you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 34, verse 18 says this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Lord, for anyone in our church body, as we're praying through these issues, struggling with depression, with anxiety, Lord, we just say to you, you're good and you're near to those who are crushed in spirit and are brokenhearted. You're good. For every heart out there that doesn't think you're close, the word says you are. And we pray in Jesus' name for you to draw near in a way they can fully understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're almost done, folks. Y'all good? You can have a seat. Almost there. For the next 3 days, we're praying about God renewing our purpose. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says this, we're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's prepared things in advance for your life. It's a joy to discover them. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's a mystery. We usually discover them over the course of time, although sometimes they can be identified early. As we watch our kids grow up, we see the things that they're good at, the things that give them joy, and we begin to help them understand how God's made them, help them understand what their purpose is. Some parts of our purpose that are, they're not unique, they're common to all of us. We're supposed to love God and enjoy him. That's our purpose. That'd be another point to say. That's good. What have we been created for? We've been created to love God and to enjoy him and to labor with him. Those are good things. There's some things that we've been created for that are unique to us. Certain gifts, certain skills, certain inclinations, even certain destinies. God's got a plan for each and every one of us. Amen? And we're praying for us as individuals to find that. We're also praying for us as a church to fulfill those things. Amen? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And ask knowing that he's a good God. It changes everything about our prayer life. Amen? All right, let's stand up. Last prayer and we're done for the day. Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for this opportunity to gather and worship. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that's constantly renewing, constantly restoring, constantly changing, constantly chasing after us. We thank you that you want to renew our minds, you want to renew our hearts, you want to renew us in your purpose. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just offer ourselves to you. We ask you to reveal your purpose within our lives. We ask that you, as you reveal it, as we understand it, as your word is revealed to it, when God reveals something, he always empowers it. If he speaks something, then everything that's needed for that thing to happen or take place is given when that word's spoken. So understand this. God is at work in you to do good things. And he's at work to do good things for you because that's his character. So we bless you today, Father. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that you've never given up on us and you keep chasing after us and keep longing to labor with us. We thank you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, that's it. I want you, just one last thing. I want you to remember when mankind made his worst mistake and God shows up in the garden, he doesn't first say, Adam, you just messed up everything. He says, where are you? Where are you? He's more concerned about his son than he is about what's happened to creation. Now, all that had to get addressed, but the point is, even at our worst, God calls to us and asks us to draw close to him. Amen? So take that into your week. Be a blessing to others. Pray, because we desperately need prayer. And if we don't pray, who will? Right? Our nation. Wow. We're in such a crazy spot. The whole world is crazy, but a lot of crazy good stuff too. We're going to get through the end of this year, and we're going to know that 2021 was a consequential year. That it was changing. The world was changing on many fronts. So if the church is not praying, who will? The church is not going to love America. Who will? In the same way that if you're a Christian and you live in Britain, I would hope that you're praying for God to move in your country or South America or whatever it may be. God's people got sent to Babylon and he said, pray for them. Babylon is the representation of evil in the world. And what did God say? I pray for them, love them, serve them, pray it goes well. Because he loves the people. He doesn't love the system, but he loves the people in the system. So go into your world and pray and serve. All right, I'm done. Sorry. No more. No more postscripts. That's it. Go to your world, pray, and love. Serve. Amen.